Welcome, it's Patrick Kelly with the KWCA Podcast. On today's program, we're going to have Logan Treister, who has been named our 2021 NCAA Division I Senior Wrestler of the Year. Incredibly young man. Enjoy the program. So after 4 years at the Naval Academy, Newton's Logan Treister is headed back to school. The academic All-American and 2021 NCAA National Qualifier will shortly be starting medical school at the University of Kansas as part of his Naval Academy commitment. Treister spent much of his time in the starting lineup in Annapolis and made his way into the national rankings in the latter part of his career. The Kansas Wrestling Coaches Association took note of those accomplishments and named him its 2021 NCAA Division I Senior Wrestler of the Year. On the other end of the line today is Logan Treister. Logan, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, so state champion, Fargo All-American, All-Academy champion, NCAA qualifier. Your accomplishments are many, but how good does it feel to finally beat Army after coming up short during your first three seasons?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I can tell you that when it comes to the academies, there's no love lost between us. I can tell you that it really stung our junior year. We tied with Army, and then it went down to tie-breaking criteria. That was at home too, so you know we ended up losing off of it was like total amount of points scored in matches that were decided by decision or major decision. So off of that we lost by a total of them having scored three more points during the course of all the matches. So the class that graduated ahead of me is the only class in the Naval Academy history that never was able to beat Army at least once, so I did not want to be following that in that tradition. So yeah, definitely felt good to go to West Point this year and get the W. So
your dad, Matt, was a four-time state champion for Beloit High School. He went on to compete for the Midshipmen and was an NCAA All-American when he placed fifth in the 1987 NCAAs. Your brother, Grant, was a freshman on the Naval Academy roster this season. Talk about the family legacy with the Naval Academy and what it means to call yourself a graduate of that prestigious institution.
Well, I can say, you know, originally it really wasn't, it didn't become something where it was like, you know, I was not pushed in that direction by my family at all. It was something that I kind of just found in my own way. You know, a lot of people would have thought that, you know, I was encouraged to go to the academy and, that certainly was not true. My parents weren't going to stop me by any means if I wanted to go there, but that definitely wasn't something that was on the radar until probably my sophomore year of high school even. But you know, for me, it was something where I knew I wanted to go to a place that had really strong academics, somewhere I knew I could make myself better with wrestling and then have a very steady job, guaranteed job graduating after college with zero student loans. All three of those things seemed really positive. And then that's when the history with my dad came into factor, just because there was no way I was going to go to West Point. From the time I had grown up, I always knew that it was always go Navy, beat Army. So it was just kind of one of those things for me. And then I think my younger brother, Grant, he also saw some of the positives from that. And so he very shortly after I committed, I think that set in his mind that he wanted to go there too. So yeah, it's definitely very cool to be one of those people who've had multiple generations at the academy. It's a really special place. A lot of people sometimes say that it's not necessarily a great place to be at, but it's a great place to be from. I'd say that's true some of the time. There are other times where it's also a great place to be at. It's a beautiful campus. So many cool opportunities and wonderful speakers that I've gotten to listen to. At the time, former vice president, now current president Joe Biden spoke to us. John McCain spoke to us. The guy who found the Titanic came and spoke to us. We've listened to Jim Mattis, all sorts of different secretaries in the cabinet, all sorts of other famous and well-known CEOs from like IBM and other companies. So there's a treasure trove of leadership experience there. So it's a really special place. I was very honored to get to spend my last 4 years there.
Absolutely, absolutely. What a neat reflection there. So as noted in the intro, you're going to be attending med school at KU as part of your academic commitment. According to the mm-hmm. Naval Academy website, midshipmen select 24 post-academy career options and submit six choices in late August of their senior year, and then in mid-November, notification is made for where you will be placed. Looking at this year's breakdown from the approximately 1,000 graduates, many will be moving on to pilot training, others SEAL training, and a good number of brave souls will be headed to the depths in a submarine. It appears that you are one of only 12 out of that 1,000 plus that were selected for the ultra-competitive Medical Corps. I know you are a humble guy, but congrats on that. Clue us in on how you find out your assignment and when you found out that you're going to end up at KU Med.
Okay. So it's a kind of a lengthy process. I'll try and shorten it down as much as possible. But in general, it's like 95% of the people who go to the Service Academy, they are going to graduate and they're going to commission into the unrestricted line community. So those are the war fighting communities. The academies are designed to train and create officers and people who can go lead troops into battle or be on a surface ship or on a submarine, as you noted. So that's the majority of people. Then there's a select group of people for various medical reasons that they get disqualified from going to those communities. They go to like information warfare communities or cryptology. There's supply officers, people like that. And then there's this weird limbo zone where there's a very competitive region of people who are competing for 12 spots every year. The Department of Defense has capped it for the Naval Academy. There's 12 spots. And in order to go for that, you have to declare that you want to try and go that route. Usually, I think when you first get there, for my class in particular, about 50, probably 50 to 60 people after the first year who said they still wanted to go for that after having experienced the rigors of academic life at the academy. They felt like they still had competitive enough grades that they could try and compete for the spot. And then as you go into the summer, going into your senior year, you fill out an application form, you submit it to a board. The board interviews you at the academy, comparing all the other midshipmen. And then you also are responsible for preparing for the MCAT, so the national test that everybody across the country has to take. So you're not just competing against the people at the academy, you're also competing against everybody else in the country, because the board at the academy will select the 12 people that they're going to allow to try and pursue this career in medicine. But for those 12 people, it's their job then. They have until, so you'll get told in September that you're being given this opportunity, but you have until May to get accepted to a medical school. And it can be any medical school that you can get accepted to. But at that point, you're not competing against the other midshipmen anymore. You're competing against the rest of the country. And in that instance, what makes it difficult is a lot of prospective medical school candidates, they'll take a full semester off just to take no classes, but they will study and prep for this national standardized test. And you don't get that afforded at the academy. You have to find ways to work it in your free time, and it makes it incredibly difficult because you're responsible for picking up extra classes in order to try and help prepare for this test, because there are certain classes like sociology and psychology that don't fit into the matrix at the Naval Academy, and there just isn't enough time because you're responsible for other classes like leadership and electrical engineering and English and things like navigation and seamanship, things that the Naval Academy puts a priority on. So you're required to go through those, and there just isn't enough time to try and take those classes. So it puts a lot of onus on you to try and get all that extra work in and try and be competitive nationally in order to get yourself accepted into a medical school. And luckily I was accepted into the University of Kansas. There's a couple other ones that I was accepted into, but the University of Kansas was a really good fit for me. They have their Wichita location, which is 25 minutes away from my house. So it's perfect for me because I can go back home and stay home and drive into school every day. So it's within driving distance, which is nice. And then the benefit of going through the Naval Academy is that the Department of Defense will give me a scholarship so that the medical school costs are covered for. So that's a huge bonus. There's a bunch of service obligations tacked on afterward. So it'll be probably about 2 decades before I'm eligible to get out of the military. But you know what, at that point, it's okay. So yeah, it's a very competitive process. You're not just competing against the academy kids, but you're competing against other very stellar students from all sorts of undergraduate programs across the country.
Holy cow, that is competitive. Wow. Me out. But I tell you what, if I ever in need of a surgery, I'm going to go after one of those 12 to do it, because that's a pretty elite group. Wow.
Well, I will say it does make it more difficult when you're trying to do a Division I sport. There were, I think, five of us out of the 12 were actually various sports that we did at the academy, like lacrosse, or one did pole vault, a bunch of track and a couple of track and field athletes, like a thrower, like a hammer throw. But wrestling, I was definitely a whole other ball game to try and have to deal with that sport and manage the grades and the managing weight at the same time and keeping all that stuff balanced is, it's definitely a tricky thing to do. They did tell me that I was the first wrestler from the academy to get to do that. So there wasn't any guidance on the team or anybody who could lend a helping hand of like, oh, you know, here's some advice for what somebody else in the past did. There was none. So yeah, that made things a little bit more difficult. But
wow. I appreciate you explaining that and kind of fleshing it out a little bit, because as I was, you know, doing a little research for this interview, I kind of got in and I did notice that it was two lacrosse players, or part of that five that you were talking about, but, holy cow, that's just quite a process. It's very well explained too there, but wow, that is daunting. So gosh, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
So your junior and senior years at the academy can be summed up as unusual, strange, and unprecedented, with the win over Army no less part of the history, but even it was contested in front of an empty arena. So after the NCAA announcement that everybody that participated in the 2021 winter sports or wrestling season would be getting an extra year of eligibility, about that time, though, the academies came out and said that due to the rigors of the acceptance process and the organizational flow of the academy system, none of the academies were going to give that extension to athletes. So talk about the past two seasons in the light of the COVID situation. And if the academies were able to grant that extra year, do you think you would have taken it, or were you ready to move on? It might be noted that you not only, you finished the academy in 4 years and didn't do the prep school route. So really, you hear about these kids getting 7 and 8 years, you know, because of a medical hardships, that kind of stuff. And you went through in 4. So talk just a little bit about the crazy year or crazy 2 years that it was, and kind of a reflection on where you would be if you were allowed to have the year.
It's possible. It's possible that I would have, if the academies would have said something like that, yeah, I would have certainly considered taking that additional year if the academies had done something. But at the same time, it would have had to be a long, hard look at it, just because, you know, regular school is hard enough, but trying to do wrestling and medical school at the same time, that seems like a whole other challenge that I just don't think it probably wouldn't have been worth it, quite frankly. I think my wrestling and also possible medical career would have suffered from that, but you know, it's okay. I knew going in that I just wasn't going to be given a redshirt opportunity by not going to the prep school. So that, you know, that was just something that was a gamble that I was willing to accept. And that's just part of the deal. And, you know, going in, you got 4 years to do everything that you can. And in some ways it does help focus your training a little bit, because, you know, you don't have a year to kind of flesh things out a little bit, see if it's right for you. It's just, you know, I'm here. This is my job. This is what I need to accomplish. And, you know, just don't have any regrets after anything. And, you know, after 4 years, I can say I dedicated just about all of my free time, even at the expense of my social life, to balancing the academics and wrestling. So I really don't see, looking back, there really were not many more opportunities I really could have had to try and get on the mat more than I did. So I certainly got everything out of the sport that I could have possibly wanted. Had plenty of other opportunities, got to go compete at the Junior Pan American Games for the United States in Brazil after my freshman year. So that was another huge opportunity that the academy offered to me, just from being on the team and being able to travel around. So, yeah, there are totally Of course, I would love to have an extra year. It'd be great. But at the same time, I think I had a good perspective going in that, I was going to have my 4 years and that's all I was going to expect out of it. So I certainly don't feel like I got cheated out of an extra year, even though other people get that ability afforded to them. That's just part of the deal when you go to the academies. And, I'm not the one who's paying for the experience either. It's the wonderful taxpayers. I'll take whatever I can get. I'm very appreciative of it.
Well, I tell you, for most people, they have to mentally and even physically prepare for the rigors of med school. I think it'll be like a vacation for you.
I don't know. We'll see. I'm certainly not gonna, approach it thinking I've got everything under control. It's a whole other thing.
Certainly, certainly. So, speaking of change and adjustment, in the spring of 2020, it was announced that there will be a coaching change coming to Annapolis. Kerry Collott would be taking over. What did Coach Collott bring to the program, and what did he mean to you individually?
Oh man, there's so many things I could say about him. First off, he's an incredible technician. He's a great coach. I never thought of myself as being an incredibly great athlete per se. Like, I'm athletic enough for the sport, but I never considered myself as like a stellar athlete, somebody who could just make things work just because of how athletic I was. So I've really, really focused on technique, and trying to get the smallest details right when I was hitting particular moves, just to try and make myself, that much more competitive and give myself every single possible advantage I could. And Coach Cola is just a fantastic technician. The way he approaches the practice room too created it just it brought a different vibe to the team. It was way more positive. He's constantly joking with the guys. He's very personable, very charismatic. He's also really, really sharp. He has really creative ideas and solutions to problems that we've run into. The academy, like for example, at the beginning of the year, he sent out a poll to everybody and was like, "All right, what are like the two biggest problems that you want me to try and fix? Like, if I could solve these two problems that would totally change your experience at the academy, what would those be?" And one of the number one results that came back was just the food conditions. And the food at the academy is prepared for everybody. So it's standardized across the board for all people. The with COVID, normally we eat family style at all of our meals because you eat with your squad and within your company. And so you get to see the people in your company, and there's a whole leadership structure to it. So you're eating at your table with your assigned squad. And because of COVID procedures, they started instead of doing the family style eating anymore, they dished out individual boxes. Well, the food was already pre-served in those boxes, so the portion sizes were already determined for you, and it made things difficult because normally some of the healthier options that we had, those were typically off to the side. So all the meals, like the main meal, would be at the table. And if you wanted some of the healthier options, you'd have to go up and go to the salad bar off to the side. Well, the problem was because of COVID, they didn't have this salad bar open anymore. And so that just wasn't an option. And it just made eating healthy very difficult because on top of that, we weren't allowed to leave the yard. So the academy grounds are called the yard. We weren't allowed to leave the yard on the weekends like we normally would be allowed to. So we couldn't just go out and go grab groceries for ourselves. We were kept on the yard for months at a time just because of, where certain COVID spikes were happening over the course of the year. And it made things really difficult because now, I'm trying to train as a Division One athlete. So I want to try and fuel myself like a Division One athlete would. And I'm not getting, the healthiest of options that I would normally be able to go grab for myself. And so it made things really difficult. So we actually found a local I don't even know what they call it. The business model is essentially that ideally you go to a gym and you can order these pre-made meals for you, and they're very healthy options. And you can have this person or this company will deliver these meals that you've ordered to the gym of your choice, and they'll have those stocked in the fridges there at the gym. So you can order three meals for the week. So if you go to the gym on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, then Monday, Wednesday, Friday at lunch, you'll have after your workout a meal that you can grab. and you just pop it in the microwave for 2-3 minutes and it's good to go. So it makes meal prep very easy. The convenience of it was great. And so we basically took that same model and had those meals delivered to us. So, you know, 3 or 4 times a week during lunch, if we had a lunch practice, I could, you know, immediately after practice, I could go grab a meal. And it was just a much healthier option. You felt better during the afternoon practice as a result of having that healthier meal. So it made the weight loss come off easier. You were more focused during practice. So overall, that whole thing of just being selfless and wanting to try and show us that he cared enough to solve some of those problems, that was something that, you know, he's just a great guy. And there's, I think another example of something that he brought to the table was he kind of changed how typically I'd start a practice. So he almost always started a practice off with a game. There were a couple different games that we played, but we always started practice with a game. And the idea is that instead of practice, because some of the practices can get, you know, pretty difficult, you can be real sore, and, you know, you're coming into practice on like a Thursday or a Wednesday, you know, you're making weight in like 2 days, you can start to feel kind of the negative effects of getting closer to weigh-in day kind of weighing on you before you start a practice, and you go, all right, this is going to be a tough one today. And so normally you just kind of say, all right, start jogging. Everybody kind of starts jogging on the room, and it's just a slow kind of jog as you get back into the rhythm of things. But we always started with a game just because it gets everybody's heart rate up. You start, you're warm before you even start the jogging, and it also helps fuel that competitive mindset. Without any, we played a lot of dodgeball, and the idea was always, the incentive was to be, you know, just let it fly, don't hesitate. And that just helped instill a mindset of, don't be afraid to shoot. Just keep shooting. You know, if you miss one shot, shoot again. But it encouraged us to just be more aggressive, be willing to, you know, throw a ball, and if it gets caught, so be it. But you try. You want to encourage those attempts. And so it encourages that in practice, and then encouraged it once we went out there on the mat. And I think that really elevated, especially me personally. I know it directly contributed to giving me more confidence on my feet. But I think it helped elevate the whole rest of the team to just feel that competitive mindset. So there were a lot of little differences that he brought to the atmosphere in the team. But yeah, he really is a great guy. I cannot recommend him more to anybody else who would possibly be considered going to the academy. Definitely go.
Yeah, you know, I mean, those are actually are two very good examples. You know, you think of something that might sort of to the outside seem like a little thing with the meal prep and that, but for just the hearing you describe that, it was not just a one call thing and it's done. He had to actually go to some lengths to make that happen. And, I think that's really a neat example to bring forth, you know, and it to me, you know, from outside looking in, it's just really impressive the level that he was at as an athlete, and for him to be able to translate that into coaching a team and being successful with it is rare. And I think it's really impressive.
Yeah. I will say it's funny because I was afforded the opportunity to wrestle with him in the practice room. Like he can still wrestle. And, you know, I can say how he feels right now. And I'm assuming that he's slowed down a little bit since he was in his 20s. So I can only imagine what he was like at his peak. And that thought just scares me. Yeah, he's very incredible.
So you have been connected to the sport of wrestling really since your earliest memories, and I'm sure you have a lot of pride with being a Naval Academy grad. Soon you will be knee-deep into your medical studies and probably won't able to focus on little else for the next several years. How involved do you think you'll be in the sport of wrestling going forward, and how connected do you think you'll be with the Naval Academy in the future?
You know, those are two separate questions. As far as wrestling, I mean, yeah, it really has been. I mean, I wrestled for, you could say, my career 17 years from when I started in kindergarten. So I don't have many memories from before being in kindergarten that don't also involve wrestling in some way. So I can't see myself not being around the sport at least some. I'll still be, you know, I'll be in Kansas, and I can't see myself not. I mean, I have my youngest brother who's still in high school too. You know, I feel like I can certainly, you know, make a Thursday evening duel, you know, after classes are out. I certainly can, for some of the closer tournaments, maybe on a Saturday in February or January, that I can go watch some of those tournaments. I can't imagine that I wouldn't be around the sport. I think it's just too much a part of both my own life and just my family's life in general. A lot of it just revolves around the sport. The academy is an interesting thing. I of course want to go back there. I have good memories and bad memories from the place. I lived there for 4 years. The way that the Navy works, like I could literally, after I finished medical school, I just get deployed somewhere. I can be stationed at a hospital in Groton, Connecticut. I could be stationed in Japan. I could be stationed in Italy. I could be in San Diego. There's so many different places the Navy could send me. The Navy could even send me back to the Naval Academy. We have medical personnel there. So it's theoretically possible that I could even get sent back over there. So I don't know. That's a good question. I may be back there in 5, 10 years for a class reunion, but who knows? That one I feel like is a lot less certain.
We've been visiting with Logan Treister, 2021 KWCA Senior Wrestler of the Year for NCAA Division I. On behalf of the Kansas wrestling community, we're proud of you. Job well done. Thanks for coming on today, Logan.
Yep, had a great time. Thank you.
This has been Patrick Kelly with the KWCA Podcast, reminding you to start thinking about the 2021 Fritz Knorr Fall Clinic and Awards Banquet, slated for October 8th and 9th in Salina. This year, Troy Nickerson, head coach at the University of Northern Colorado, will be the headliner, but there will also be lots of other guests and activities to really educate you, inform you, entertain you. So definitely put that on your calendar, October 8th and 9th in Salina, the KWCA Fritz Knorr Fall Clinic and Awards Banquet. Until next time, thanks for listening.